paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This episode is marked for sensitive content. Please check content warnings and the episode description before listening. This week on the Breakup Breakdown.
He went to his brother's house. He never said, like, I'm sleeping there or I'm staying there for an extended period of time. But he did not come home. The next morning, I still hadn't heard anything from him. He was nowhere to be found. And he did not come home that day, and he didn't come home the next. And, like, I was like, is something happening? Is something wrong? Like, where are you?
We've heard of breakups coming out of nowhere, but never a fiancé quite literally disappearing out of nowhere. Welcome to Season 9, Episode 2 of the Breakup Breakdown. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy. And this week, our guest says her fiancé disappeared for days without a trace. And if you're wondering where these stories come from, I have a submission form in the episode description. You can submit your story tips there, whether it's your own story, a friend's story, something you've seen on social media, or just somebody you want me to DM to ask about why they've soft launched their engagement ending or something. And as always, if you want to jump to a certain part of the interview, timestamps are located on Spotify via the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. This week, we've got an interview from someone who says her fiancé left for a bit for, you know, a normal hangout and then just, like, didn't come back. Before we get into that, every week, we give a shout out to a different domestic violence organization just to raise more awareness. And this week, we are shouting out the South Carolina Coalition Against Domestic Violence. The South Carolina Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault serves the collective voice promoting the prevention of domestic violence and sexual assault in South Carolina. For more details on how you can help them out, head to the episode description. Okay, so into this week's submission. So the details I have on this story all has to do with a couple that had been together for about 5 years, got engaged, were planning to get married, and I guess a month before they were set to get hitched, they ended up breaking up. And of course, like, you know, when you're that close to the wedding, you've still got a honeymoon planned. And I guess the bride and the friend went on the honeymoon. Lots to unpack here, but I've always been fascinated with people who end up getting engaged and then end up waiting right before the wedding to break up, because in my mind, I guess when you see photos of people getting engaged, that's like a big moment. It's a moment everyone thinks of, and nobody really anticipates saying yes and then going through a split. So for me, the thought process of breaking up with someone you're engaged to is so different than just somebody you've been together with for a while. So let's get into the details and figure out what split these two up when we break down this week's breakup.
We met in school, actually. We were pretty good friends for most of it. I was in a different relationship at the time. So we were good friends for the first couple of years. And then the final semester of school, that other relationship ended. We had always kind of been friends throughout it. We would study together, sometimes in a group, sometimes by ourselves. But once that other relationship that I was in ended, we kind of pretty quickly moved into, like, relationship territory. Our first date was kind of like, I didn't really know if it was a date or not, but we were hanging out alone. We went to a pool hall and we made some kind of bet that he initiated that was either way, whether I won the game or he won the game, like I had to kiss him. Like that was it. So he kind of made it like pretty clear that what his intentions were and that it was kind of like a date. So yeah, that's how we met and started dating. But things moved pretty quickly in our relationship, which my friends and family were all pretty worried about at the time, because we only had like 3 months left of nursing school. We both lived with our parents at the time. So we both were thinking like, oh, we want to move out as soon as we can. So we were only together for like 3 or 4 months when we decided to move in together. We did end up being together for 5 years and we moved to 3 different places together. So I think everybody thought that it was going to end really quickly because of kind of how it started. But we were friends beforehand, so it's not like he was a stranger and then we moved in for after 3 months. But still, people were very worried about that. We just kind of got along really well. He just kind of like had some kind of charm about him.
An unconventional start. But I mean, if you knew him for a long period of time, it's not that unheard of, like after 3 months. I feel like the first 3 months of any relationship are about as perfect as it gets. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, of course they're going to move into each
other. Exactly.
We're obsessed with each other. So you're together for 5 years total. But at what point in the relationship do you start to notice that there are some red flags and there might be some things coming up in the relationship that would lead to it ending?
Things went wrong a lot throughout the relationship, which I guess happens in any relationship. But one of the really big problems that we had is that he was super cheap. Like, he never wanted to spend any money. He never wanted to go out anywhere, which like really bothered me. It was like very much a sticking point in our relationship. And I remember the one time I got him to go out to breakfast with me, which sounds like not a big deal at all. But like, that's really how cheap he was. He wouldn't even like go out for something like breakfast with me. But sidebar, he would go with his friends sometimes, which always was like, why won't you go with me if you're going to go with your friends? But we got there and we ordered coffee and we're looking at the menu to see what we're going to get. And the whole time he would not stop saying things like, he couldn't believe this omelet was $10. Do you know how many eggs I could buy for $10? And I was like, yes, I know how many eggs you can buy for $10. But that's not the point of being here. Like, you're making this terrible. And he made it so bad that literally we had only ordered coffee at that point. I put $5 down on the table and I walked out. I was like, I'm not even doing this. Like, you're making this unfun. I don't want to do this. He refused to like go on vacations with me. We were making pretty good money. It's not like we didn't have money to go travel places, but he was very against it. So finally, I got him to agree to take a trip with me. And we went to Miami and I fully funded the entire trip. That was the only way I could get him to go with me, is if I paid for flights, hotel, the whole thing. We ended up going, I mean, it was a good time, but we ended up going to two basketball games while we were there, which I don't know if you could guess. I could not care any less about basketball. Like, we only went because he wanted to go, but like fully funded by me. And like, looking back at that, I'm like, what is wrong with you? But it was what it was at the time. And his whole reason behind being so cheap is that so we were nurses, we had our bachelor's degree, and he wanted to get a doctorate degree. And the specific one that he wanted to get, you can work very minimally during school. So his whole thing was, I want to save money so that I don't have to worry about it while I'm in school, which is very valid, I think. All of that was completely invalidated a few months before our relationship ended when he bought a new car. He's like, it's my dream car. I'm like, okay, but you just wiped out your whole savings that you couldn't do anything with me because of all that.
This is kind of a sticking point throughout the relationship that like finances, kind of you guys can't really agree on like what's appropriate to spend on what. How do we get to the end of your relationship? Like, what's the thing that eventually breaks you two apart?
Yeah. So I think there was a time frame of about a month where things, maybe a little bit more than a month, but there was this time frame where things were getting bad. So we were together for about 4 years and he did finally get into that doctorate program that he had been saving that money for, supposedly. So he was really excited about that. And we had talked about getting married before, but it kind of got accelerated because he was not going to be able to work full time during that. So really, honestly, very unromantically, he needed to get on my health insurance. So that is not the entire reason, but definitely a big factor in why we wanted to like get married and do it kind of quickly. So he tended to be kind of spontaneous about things. And like when he got his mind set on something, he wanted to do it like that day. So the day we got engaged, oh my God, this story is terrible. I had a cold for probably about a week and I missed like one or two shifts at work. I just went back to my first shift at work. I was working in the intensive care unit. Shifts are 12 hours long and they're exhausting. And so I get home from the shift. I don't feel very good. I want to go to bed. I come home. I put my sweatpants on. He used to work on cars a lot and we had like a garage, not a finished garage, like just what you would think of as like a dusty concrete floor garage with a shitty old car in there that he's working on. And he insisted at this point that I go out to the garage with him so that he could show me the new seats that he put into the car, which like at that point, I could not care any less about. I was like, I need to go to bed. I have work in the morning. I don't feel good. And by the way, it was around Christmas time, so it was freezing outside. And it's also important for the story that it was around Christmas time.
Okay.
So I said, okay, finally, I went outside. We looked at this car, and I'm like, oh, wow, so cool. And then all of a sudden, the garage door opens, and his entire family is standing there, which included his mother, who was recording on her phone, three of his siblings. He has more siblings than that, but three of them were there. And then his stepfather, who was dressed up like Santa.
My God.
Literally, oh my God.
Like
So
nightmare fuel.
Santa starts saying, like, oh, Merry Christmas, ho, 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 like Santa does. And then hands me a box. And I open the box and it's a ring. And then my ex gets down on one knee and asks me to marry him in our garage at 8 p.m. in the freezing cold with his family there. And I mean, I said yes, but like, how could I say no? How could I say in that moment, like, this isn't how I want you to do this? But an even worse part of that story is that I discovered what his alternative plan was. And I'm actually kind of grateful for what he did because his stepfather was dressed up like Santa Claus because prior to them coming to do all that, they were at his work Christmas party. And my ex really thought it would have been appropriate for him to invite me to the work Christmas party and for him to do it there. Like at this random company I have nothing to do with. I only know this one man. So I found out later that that was his alternative plan. I'm like, thank God that didn't happen. So anyway, so then we got engaged. After that point, he got weird. Like things were, I mean, you can kind of tell from the story, he's already a little weird, but things got like distant and kind of awkward, and it had never been like that before. So something was going on. I couldn't really tell what it was. He kind of dragged his feet on like getting a marriage license and was really uninvolved in any wedding planning. So we were doing something small. We were just going to do a courthouse and then like go out to eat with our family, like 20 people. So it was something that was small, but regardless, invitations were sent. I had a dress, like it was like 2 months away from the date that we had picked, like, and we had the officiant, whatever. Everything was pretty much set to go. But this whole time, I was thinking, like, I don't even know if this is going to happen because he's being so distant and weird. And he said, like, he was depressed, but then he would act completely normal towards his friends and family. It was only me that he was acting like really cold and different too. So two things kind of happened that made me realize that like this is not going to work. So my friends planned this like bachelorette day trip to a city that I live like 2 hours ish away from, and he had this other car. It was an old Cadillac Escalade, like old, like 20 years old. Like it wasn't like a luxury vehicle that he spent so much money on, but it had three rows of seating, so they could fit a lot of people. So my friends had asked him, like, can we borrow it so that like the whole group could fit in one car to go down? And he loved to be like the nice guy for other people, just not me. So of course he was like, yeah, of course. Oh my gosh, you could borrow it. No big deal. He filled it up with gas that morning. So we went, we had a good time. It was great. But when I came home, it was really late at that point. It was like 2 in the morning. And he didn't ask how my time was. He didn't ask like what we did or anything like that. It was, he asked, or he went right into, I really didn't want you to borrow the car, but like I just didn't know how to say no to your friends. Like, how was I supposed to say no? And then he said, did you fill it up with gas? And first of all, I wasn't even the one driving. My sister was driving. And it just did not cross my mind at 2 in the morning. I was like, no, but like if you need me to, I could get gas tomorrow. Like, it's not a big deal. And he gave me such a hard time about it. I literally at 2 in the morning left my home and went and got gas. Like, the most unsafe place for a woman to be that time of the morning. He's like, you gotta go now. And like, to like harass me over a tank of gas when I'm supposedly about to be your wife, like, really, like $50 is what is gonna make or break this at this point. So that was really bad and made me rethink a lot of things. But then that same week, later in the week, he said that he was going to his brother's house. He went to his brother's house. He never said, like, I'm sleeping there or I'm staying there for an extended period of time, but he did not come home. So he stayed at his brother's house overnight. And then the next morning, I still hadn't heard anything from him. And then that afternoon, I was with my sister, and we got a phone call from my mom that she just had to call like 911 on my because my dad was threatening to kill himself.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so long history of like untreated mental illness, but nothing ever that severe had happened before. So he was like involuntarily committed to the hospital, and it was a very stressful, traumatic time. I had to go to my parents' house and like collect all of the guns that they had and like take them to my house because they could no longer be in that house.
Wow.
Yeah. So that whole time he was nowhere to be found, and he did not come home that day, and he didn't come home the next day. So he was gone for like 3 days. And like, I was like, is something happening? Is something wrong? Like, where are you? Like, texting and calling, but everything's going through. So if something was wrong, like your phone would have been dead by now. It was alive the whole time. And I reached out to his mom at one point and been like, have you heard from him? Because like, I just want to make sure he's okay. And she's like, yeah, I just talked to him. Okay, well, he hasn't answered me in 3 days, and I'm going through some terrible things. Finally, he came home on like the third day, and I said, like, obviously this is over. Like, there is no fixing this. Like, that's crazy.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Was the breaking point for you the fact that he just went MIA for 3 days?
Yes. And if he had just gone MIA for 3 days and he had like cold feet, like, I mean, that's still really terrible, but maybe something could have been done about it. But it was the fact that like there was this family crisis, and like, you have now left me alone to deal with that. And like, that's when you need someone the most. I did, like, obviously he didn't want to get married at that point, but just didn't want to say it. And I don't want to marry someone that's going to be that way. So that was pretty much the end of it.
Where
We were
did he go?
supposed to.
Did, I'm assuming you like asked him, like, where were you? What were you up to? What
Yeah.
did he say?
He was so nonspecific. He just said, I was at my brother's house. He made it seem like it was so normal. It's not like his brother lives like hours away, and if you go take a trip, you have to stay there. Like, he was local.
Yeah.
So he was like, I was at my brother's house, like nothing of it. So we were actually supposed to go take another trip, fully funded by me, by the way, to Arizona like the next week. Luckily, I was able to change the name on the ticket, and my friend ended up going with me. And I'm really glad that we went on that trip. I felt like that was like a closure trip for me in a way, where I was like, okay, I'm really here in this state where I was supposed to be with my fiance and I'm not. So like, it made it really real. But after that, he wouldn't leave my house. So I had bought a house, which is should have been another red flag. He did not want to contribute any money towards it or have his name on the title, even though we were going to get married. So it was my house. He didn't pay me anything for it, and he wouldn't leave. And he was like, well, you said that you were going to help me get through this school program. And like, I was like, yeah, when we were together. Like, so he really truly expected to live in my house for 3 years and like me help him out in that way when he had just done all that and we had called off the wedding and everything. It was a lot. So during that time, I mean, it was so awkward in the house. And I was trying to help him. I mean, I was looking for apartments online and stuff for the one time I had seen a post for someone getting rid of dressers and nightstands because all of the furniture in the house I had bought, so I told him he couldn't take it. So this person was giving stuff away for free on Facebook. So I was like, oh, well, I'll go with you and I'll help you get it. So I went with him. We loaded it into his truck that he had. And when we got it home, I was like, I opened the thing to unload it. And he was like, you could just keep it in there because I'm just bringing that to my mom's. I'm going to burn it in her fire pit. And I was like, what did we just go get it for? And he was like, well, it's terrible quality. Like, I would never want that. They're horrible. I don't want these. I'm like beggars can't be choosers. And what did we go there for? It was just so it was not fun having him there for that long afterwards. Eventually, he did finally move out. It was probably like 3 months though that he was in my house.
Oh my God. And then after the 3 months, were you free of him?
Yeah, I mean, I was sort of free of him. He had his like cars that he fixed up in my garage. that he like some of them didn't run, so he couldn't really take them out super easily. But I was like, you need to get these out of here. And he kind of dragged his feet on that. Luckily, eventually he did get them out. But yeah, pretty much that was it after that, luckily.
Well, geez. I mean, thank God. I feel like that was kind of like, I feel like it was a hard pivot. It sounded like there were maybe some issues that you guys were going through, like the gas thing was super weird. But then for him all of a sudden, just like one day to just like take off, could you have ever foreseen this coming?
No, I really didn't. And that is one of the things that I think really messed me up afterwards, because like just trust issues going into future relationships or even friendships and things, like to think that someone can change so quickly and you don't really see it coming in that way. Yeah, that really messed with my head for sure.
Do you have a theory on why things ended the way that they did? Like, do you think maybe he was just sticking around because he was using you for stability so he could go to school and save money, that kind of thing? Like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I mean, I definitely felt used, especially considering he still expected me to provide for him in this way after we had broken up. The other thing was he was married before me. He was from like a small country town, and like he'd gotten married to his high school sweetheart when they were like 19. And I think when, because he had to get the divorce papers and everything for us to get the marriage license, which we never ended up getting. But I don't know. I think maybe getting all of that made him think like, am I gonna go through this again? Like, do I really want to do this? I think that might have had something to do with it. I don't know, just commitment issues all around, I guess.
Is he doing okay now? Like, do you keep up with him at all?
He actually met someone not very long after, and he had a child with her.
Stop.
I wish it was a joke. Yeah, they while he was still in school, I think he's, as long as he's still in it, I have no idea if he finished that program or not. But he's supposed to finish that program this year, and he had a child during it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Well, hopefully that's his happy ending. But I want to hear about where you're at. So, like, how did you heal from that relationship? What were some of the steps that you took? And yeah, just how did you mend after 5 years of being with someone you thought was would be forever?
Well, I did go to a therapist at one point. That was helpful.
Okay. What kind of things did you tackle in therapy?
Mostly like I talked about the trust issues. How can someone, even though there was no betrayal in a way of like infidelity or anything like that, it truly felt like a betrayal. So I don't know. I had to work through that a little bit.
Well, I think that's incredibly valid. I mean, I think it's a little bit more black and white. Like, if somebody steps out on you, you can see that betrayal. But for someone to betray the trust that you had in him to be there for you, I mean, that's still incredibly painful.
Yeah, definitely.
How did you work through that with your therapist?
Journaling and just time, I guess. I don't know.
Do you think you will have the ability to trust someone in the future? Do you see that being a struggle for you going forward?
Well, I am in a relationship now, and because that all happened, that we're probably almost 4 years at this point away from that. But and I'm in a relationship now for like 2.5 years. So we're pretty good, but definitely I see that in myself a little bit. Like I have to kind of check myself sometimes and be like, okay, he's not the one that did this to me. And like, I don't know, your expectations change, I guess. You're just like expecting the worst in a way out of people. And you have to kind of change your mindset, or you're just going to ruin every relationship that you ever get into based on what this other person did. You know, you carry it all into the next relationship if you don't truly heal from it, I suppose.
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening that are struggling with something similar where they're not really sure if they'll ever be able to fully trust again. So, what's advice that you would give them moving forward into their future relationships?
I would just say try as hard as you can to start off with a clean slate. I mean, it's impossible not to bring baggage based on what you've been through, but just remember that the new person that you're with is not the person that did that to you, and not everyone has bad intentions.
Thanks for tuning in as always. And if you want to tune in on Thursday, I'll have a breakdown bonus episode for you all about learning to trust again in a new relationship. I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is sharing the message that connection is crucial because good relationships are an essential and sometimes overlooked component of mental well-being. If your relationships could use some strengthening, a licensed therapist from Talkspace can help. Therapy can help you communicate better with loved ones, repair conflicts, and understand how to address loneliness and build community. It's easy to sign up. Just go to Talkspace.com and you'll be paired with a therapist within 2 days. You'll meet with your therapist online on your schedule. Plus, Talkspace is in network with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Make personal connections a priority and start today. If you're not covered by insurance, get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com and enter promo code SPACE80. That's SPACE80. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com and enter promo code SPACE80.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.